Dr. John B. with his segment here, Psychologically Speaking. Good morning, sir.
Well, good to talk to you, Dave.
Well, I want to tee things up today with just some numbers out there. We know there are millions of stay-at-home moms still here in the United States. And surprisingly, the number on dads has climbed. It's now up to 176,000 who describe themselves as stay-at-home dads. The Census Bureau, Doc, does not track people coming in and out of the stay-at-home versus going back to work situation. Some because they need to come back to work, some they want to, or some a combination thereof. But we know that has an effect on the household, the family unit, and some thought should be given to how to get the kids ready for this type of major life change.
Well, there's no question something needs to be done in cases like this. In our question and answer, our just latest on our website, drjohnb.com, that was a question posed to me by a set of parents where, in this case, the mom was returning to work. There were teenage children. And it was due to financial reasons. And how do you really adapt to that? And if you've had a partner, a person in the house, okay, we'll call it, it can be the husband, it can be the wife, and over the years it is tended to be the mother. But when the person takes people places, goes to all the events, all the doctor's appointments, is kind of always at the beck and call of the child, and all of a sudden that's going to end, due to, we'll say in this case, due to financial reasons. Well, there is a need to everyone sit down to talk about it, and there can be some unhappiness by both parents if this was not something that really was desired. Even if it was desired, it's still something you've got to talk to the kids. You're talking about a different division of labor. You've got to be talking about how much time is the person going to work. How is this going to fit into the relationship? It's something that sounds basic when so many times you have both parents or a single parent working. But when you change the paradigm, change what's happening in the home, there is a need for everybody to kind of get used to it, set it up, and divide up labor. And I will tell you this, Dave, this can be difficult when a lot of people have had certain expectations about how life is going to be run, and all of a sudden there's just a number of changes in a home.
Is there a certain age that's, and I'm I was about to say, is there a certain age with parents that makes this tough? I think for a parent making this decision, it's always going to be difficult. But is there a certain age with a child and a child's development where this conversation and this transition can be more difficult than another, or is it widely varied?
Well, I think it can vary. I think, so if you have a child 9, 10, 11, and in that age range that they've always had a parent around, always available, and then all of a sudden the parent's not going to be there, and you might be looking at daycare, you might be looking at the person going to someone's home at night or another relative coming over. It can be difficult because it changes the whole equilibrium of the person's life. If a person's a teenager and older, they're inconvenienced, but often they can find a way to cope, to get around this and just sort things out because they don't really have to have somebody home when they come home at night until the person comes from work. So it's one of those things we tend not to think about it right now, but there are millions of homes where you have one primary parent, and if it gets to the point where you're going to be having both parents needing to be working full-time, it can, or even if not full-time, part-time, it can make changes in the home, and that is the time to sit down, talk things out, have family meetings. It's just one of those things not being talked about that much, but I run into it all the time in my work here over the years where what do we do, how are we going to adapt, and then parents can feel like failures. They feel that one has not made enough of an income or they've lost a promotion or whatever, and these are downsizing times. So it can be a difficult thing. The main thing is when there's love, caring, and support and spirituality, call it what you will, in the home, that those are the poems that can survive and move forward, even in difficult some situations.
And, you know, it's interesting, Doc, that this has occurred over not the course of the last, 100, 120. This has occurred in a relatively short period of time. We've had hiccups in our history. For example, during World War II, the guys are over fighting, women are going to work, and that basically went back to, quote, the norm after the war was over, and then things began to shift. Even when I was a kid, it was not uncommon at all for you to be able to live and live relatively well in a one-income family. And we know now that unless your job is extremely tremendous, or you own your own business, whatever, that is not likely anymore.
Well, that is true, and often we also have homes where both people feel actualized by working, okay? And
true.
That's a separate thing. But we're specifically here talking about where one parent there's a determination in the relationship that one is going to be a primary in terms of home, mm-hmm. take the child places and be available. And when that changes, if it's not something that's really desired, it can be traumatic on the person who has to go back to work, on the one who's feeling like a failure because they can't bring in the income, or they've been downsized, downgraded, call it what you will, and then the children have to adapt. So it's one of those family decisions, the family work that the people just have to put together.
And is it important, you think, Doc, to have for going forward, for that family, for that parent who goes back to work, to say, you know, we've always had all this time together, but I'm still going to reserve, there's always going to be a certain amount of time that I fence off that's going to be our time, your time, for this child, so that they know that that they're not just another one in a list of priorities, but somewhere on the list.
Absolutely critical. Someone has to know, we all have to in relationships, that we're loved, cared for, and I believe the 60-40 rule relates to all aspects of families, and loving and caring. Each gives 60, so you're each getting 50 is what it really amounts to. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's no question that we don't want people to feel they're lost or that they're being forgotten. And the person going back to work or the two people that are sharing more work have to make sure that the children are not lost. And the children have to be sensitive and
right.
have to be part of the whole team. It's part of being a loving family.
This is all coming out of the latest newsletter. Of course, you can go online and catch up here at drjohnb.com, drjohnb.com. Psychologically speaking with Dr. John Bracci, our good friend, Regional Psychological Services. They are in East Lansing. It's a great topic here. Always good to talk to you, sir, and have a great morning.
Same to you, Paisano. Talk to you later.
Keep it right.